the gust of air when Santa ejaculates, the moose-like sparkly, red sparkly cum, and the fact that it tastes like peppermint for me. Like, that's a great trifecta of ejaculation.
Who could have known that the jizz of an inflatable Santa Claus would be such a multi-sensory experience?
Hello.
Hello.
You jingle and jolly folks out there. Welcome to Say Smut, a literary podcast for readers and non-readers.
Thanks for stopping by our workshop. That's Sarah, and she loves books, and she's on the nice list this year.
That's Hope, and she loves talking to me about books, and she's on the naughty list this year. Each episode, I break down the plots of some pretty wild books to Hope who hasn't read them. Hi, welcome back, Hope. Hey. So happy that you've survived the holiday craziness.
I was in a Thanksgiving onslaught of mostly tarts, but now I'm here and everything's great.
Yeah, we've rested up. We've had our turkey, we've had a lot of food.
I had turkey. No, it's okay.
And we shopped.
We
crafted. Well, you crafted.
Mm-hmm.
And we watched Wicked.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we are holding space.
Yep.
For good things. Like I said to somebody that it felt like kind of how it did when Barbie was around, because people just loved the project so much, I think, who were in the project and also who were, oh, I just hit my microphone. I hope that didn't echo. But you know what I mean? Like, it just felt like there was like this camaraderie, this unity of people coming together and watching Wicked.
Truly beautiful. Yeah, I do feel a similar way. There's just like a fun buzz. It's just kind of, I'm not going to say it's just happy, because obviously the premise of Wicked is like, you know, nuanced, but like, it just feels good. Yeah. It just makes me feel nice.
And like the performer, oh my God, the casting couldn't have been better.
So good.
I almost cried multiple times watching it. And again, it's just like, oh, I felt like I needed to clap after each number too. It was just like, oh my gosh, like Cynthia, you did amazing. Ariana, you did good. Like, it's just so good.
So good. Yes, I loved it.
But I don't know about you, Hope, Elizabeth. But it snowed in Iowa today.
There's been the slightest dusting of snow. It's not the first time it snowed up where I am. We've had snow prior to now, but it did dust.
We have had like flurries, but nothing stuck. And today the snow stuck all day long on the ground, like maybe a quarter of an inch, like maybe less than a quarter of an inch.
A little bit.
Just a little bit. And you know what that means.
It's winter.
It's winter. It's the holiday season. Uh-huh. We are officially into December. Uh-huh. People are getting ready for the holiday season. I feel like I've been in the throes of getting ready for Christmas through all of the holiday romances I've been reading.
Sure. My tree's just been up for like about a month.
Yeah, as it should be. Like I think you should start decorating in November. Take a little break for Thanksgiving, but then like go back into it. And then you're actually in the season, you know, like there's no buildup otherwise. If you don't, you know, I feel like you got started early.
Sure. I just decided come like November 8th that any day was a great day to have your Christmas tree up. And so that's what happened at my house.
I can see your Christmas tree in the background. Yeah. It's very cute.
Thanks.
Well, if you haven't gotten your Christmas tree up, we have the perfect book for you today. Because a lot of people are probably putting up decorations, right?
I would imagine if you haven't already, now is the time.
So we're going to get you in the mood. Maybe listen to this while you're putting some ornaments on the tree. Maybe baking some cookies.
Assembling a gingerbread house.
Or maybe inflating some inflatables. Mm-hmm. Because today we are reading Smashed by the Christmas Inflatables.
Wow.
By S.R. Griffith. Uh-huh. Okay.
Yep.
So before we dive in, I want to give some trigger warnings, which is obviously going to be sexual content. And
inflatable figures.
I'm going to make it very clear now that the consent is not extremely clear. It's actually very much not a thing, but then it's discussed multiple times. But again, I want to remind us that we're talking about inflatables. So the level of seriousness, it is always important. We're going to disclaim now. We believe consent is sexy. Consent is important.
Always get enthusiastic consent from people or inflatable structures or like whatever. Just like, or always ask.
If you are the inflatable structure, get, you know, get consent. Don't ask. Yeah. So with that said, just know that there is not clear consent in this book. But we will be powering through. In Storygraph, it has a 2.7, and on Goodreads, it has a 2.9. Wow. So that's a good sign, I feel like, for you. You're always like, the lower, the better.
Yeah, I was like, that's right in my wheelhouse of the perfect book.
And let me tell you a little bit about S.R. Griffith. I'm going to be honest. Oh, okay. There are pronouns in here. She, her. I didn't know what pronouns there were. So this is from their author kind of profile. She lives in the South with four feral minions. She loves reading and writing about all sorts of magic, monsters, and aliens, plus the occasional billionaire romance, because that's the modern day prince. She likes to write whenever whatever shiny thing hits her heart. Sorry, for some reason, you guys, I got my vaccines. I'm not
all doing our best.
My brain's not firing on all cylinders. So with that said, are you ready to jump into Smashed by the Christmas Inflatables?
I have never been more ready in my whole life to be smashed by Christmas Inflatables. Yeah.
Okay. Well, there are two warnings I have before this we get started. First of all, this is about a 30-page book. Great. And a lot happens. So we're going to dive in and we're going to go fast because that's the pace of this book.
Yay.
And also, the timeline for this book is not very clear as to when the prologue happens and when the book actually starts. So I'm not 100% sure when things are happening. Everyone just ignore it. Okay.
Sure,
I'm going to throw out dates and times that were given to us in the book. I'm not really sure how they laid out in real life. So
I'm not worried.
Excellent. We are going to start with a prologue, which takes place on Thanksgiving Eve at a hardware store.
Uh-huh.
You know, you and I,
honestly, that makes sense to me already.
Mm-hmm. You and I have worked holidays.
Yes.
Sometimes even together.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes you just have to bring some cheer to the holiday itself. And when you're stuck in an office or, in this case, a hardware store.
Yes.
So these coworkers are getting together for kind of a holiday dinner of sorts on Thanksgiving Eve before. Sure. I'm guessing it's like a Black Friday deal or something.
Right. You know, it's like I worked Black Friday at a retail store when I was in college and we had a small potluck.
Yeah.
Potluck. Oh my gosh, you guys, I'm losing it. Potluck prior to Black Friday starting.
Yeah.
At like 11 p.m. I think is when we had it. I think I had to be at work at 11 p.m.
Yeah, so I imagine it's kind of the same setting. So
yeah,
they decide to set up their dinner or whatever in the inflatable area. And I have to imagine it's kind of like a Menards or a Lowe's. Sure. Where like there's kind of a separate room that's almost semi-outdoorsy. Mm-hmm. Like it's like a cement floor and it's like, that's how I have to picture it for the sake of this story.
At the very least, the zone where you keep all of the outdoor Christmas decorations, and there's probably like a row of all the inflatables you can buy with each one of each like inflated, for example.
Yes, precisely. So they decided to set up. They set up in there because they're like, well, let's get in the holiday spirit. And the main character is Sloane. And from the get go, I'm going to tell you that it bothers me that we spell Sloane S-L-O-A-N.
That's how my cousin spells their last name.
Oh, okay. So
but it's
sorry.
A last name, not a first name.
Okay. But like to me, Sloane has to have an E on the end for some reason. So
do they have an E on the end? It doesn't matter.
I
don't need a Doc's Hope's family.
So Sloane and one of her coworkers are kind of going through their goodies that they have, and they find a Christmas cracker. I have asked Hope. If you're new to the podcast, I've asked Hope to, she always gets a subject that is related to the book that she does not know how it is related to the book. And I asked her to tell me what a Christmas cracker was because I thought I knew what a Christmas cracker was. And thankfully I was right when I Googled it, but then there's some more context that happens after this, but I won't get into it yet. I want you to tell me what a Christmas cracker is, what you do with it. What is the importance for Christmas?
Yes. Welcome to my report. Look, I'm so glad you're sitting down.
Look,
work with me here because I did my best. My report titled all Polly wants for Christmas is a Christmas cracker. Or.
Okay, not my favorite.
Or Polly wants for Christmas a cracker. Ooh, baby. Or.
Or, oh, we have another opposite. Okay.
Who can make a cracker filled with Christmas cheer? The Candyman can.
I'm going to be honest. This was a weak one all around. I appreciate the A for effort.
Agree to disagree, because I was like, did we get Mariah Carey for the pod? Wow. Great work.
No, A for effort. I know you were... were you ever in choir?
Oh my gosh, yes.
I thought you were, but I was like, Mariah, that's so wild.
Wow. Anyway, have you ever done a Christmas cracker? Because I haven't. And I believe the first time I encountered them in popular media was via Harry Potter.
Oh, yeah. I think probably I've had one. But okay. I've definitely seen them. I don't know if I've actively participated in one.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, well, okay.
In case you missed it, which you didn't because I haven't explained it yet, a Christmas cracker has nothing to do with crackers the food, which is pretty fucked up. And
which is false advertising. Which
we can all agree is a scam and a fraud. A Christmas
Holly cracker, would be so disappointed that there is no crackers in Christmas.
Thank you. Yeah. Unless there's a treat inside that includes crackers, in which case there could be crackers, but I have not encountered that in my research.
Okay.
Anyway, so what a Christmas cracker looks like. You've probably seen one before if you haven't actually done one. Basically, they look like if you were to give somebody like a piece of paper and a crayon, you're like, draw a piece of candy. Like,
yeah,
it is the shape of a stereotypical piece of candy, more or less, but like it's made like with a tube roll. Instead. Yeah, it's kind of like a Tootsie Roll.
Yeah.
There's a tube component and it's wrapped usually with like decorative Christmas paper on either side, and it looks real pretty. There's stuff in there. A fun fact, if you've only ever seen them and not participated in using them, but you pull them open from the wrappers and they make a pop or a bang noise, which I'll have more on that later. And then inside you'll find an assortment of little treasures, like a tissue paper, lots of tissue paper hats, or a card with maybe some jokes or some poems or little party games, and maybe there'll be some candy in there, and maybe there'll be some small toys. And so you set them out. Normally they're like set with table settings at holiday gatherings in the middle of a table. And the point is to open them all together and wear the hats and like have silly fun social time. So Historic UK, I'll do my sources at the end because that's where I put them. But Historic UK is one of them. And they said that usually there's two different common ways to do Christmas crackers. So one is just like you go to the person next to you. They grab one end of a popper, you grab the other end of a popper, and you pull it together, and you just kind of help each other open them. Or if there's a bunch of you and a bunch of Christmas crackers, what you can do is everybody is like usually sitting around a table, and you remember that you're holding yours in your right hand, and then you cross hands, and you grab your neighbor at the table's popper in your or Christmas cracker in your open hand, and everyone pulls all of them at the same time.
Oh.
Which is fun. That's just one place that I saw.
Okay.
And the reason that I first learned about Christmas crackers via The Boy Who Lived is because Christmas crackers are very popular in the UK and they were invented there. So, how did they come to be? Well, Christmas crackers came from the mind of a British confectioner named Tom Smith, the most generic name for a man.
This is so generic.
But maybe he was like the original Tom Smith.
Yeah, it's like
Earth's first.
Yeah, you were the first one ever and went down in history as the cracker guy.
Oh, gee. He opened up a shop selling cakes and candy in the 1840s. And as like among the other things he was selling, he made crackers originally inspired by French bonbons, which I have come to understand through my research as being like sugared almonds wrapped up in little bits of paper. So like also kind of a classic candy shape. He was like, I also want to sell sweets in just like a little bit of paper. So he started doing a similar thing, but he would add little love notes inside. So it would be like little message, little note, whatever the candy was on top of it. and then all of that wrapped in paper. So you
know, somebody proposed that way.
Yeah, I think
somebody has proposed that way.
In my research, I learned that crackers were already a pretty common thing to do around Christmas, but Tom had hoped that by making them like little love notey trinkets, that people would buy them for like their sweethearts year round.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's how it started. But then he was like, what if we made this even better? Poppers. I keep calling them poppers. They're not poppers, you guys.
Oh.
I keep calling them, which is so funny.
Also, but okay, if we were to take the sexual reference out of it, poppers is exactly how American person would explain this.
That's right? True. Yeah.
It sounds like we were like, oh, so they pop? So we're going to just call them poppers.
If someone offers you poppers, they're probably not referring to this Christmas tree. And I'm going to ask you to say no until you can read up and make an informed decision for yourself.
Do you want to do Christmas poppers?
Christmas poppers. Anyway, Christmas crackers make a popping sound when you open them. And they didn't originally, but then Tom was... First, what he told people was like, I was inspired by hearing a log crackle in a fireplace, which was probably just like a story.
Oh my God.
But what we know probably happened is that he bought the mechanism to like make the pop noise of a Christmas cracker from a fireworks company called Brock's Fireworks Company. And
also, okay, I want to emphasize again, this sounds so American. We love to blow shit up. So, you know,
we would invent a small toy for family fun that makes an exploding.
Yeah, we love making things explode.
The mechanism that does is that there's two strips of paper in a Christmas cracker, and one is like chemically treated and the other one is rough. So it's sort of like striking a match on the side of a matchbox, like on one of those strips. When you pull the cracker open, the treated strip and the textured one rub against each other and it causes a little explosion that makes that noise.
But I'm surprised they didn't start on fire because they're made of paper.
Yeah, I don't know. But they didn't. There's a reason. Maybe it doesn't produce a flame, but just like the reaction it causes produces a noise. Hard to say.
Okay.
I didn't read that far. According to the Victoria and Albert Museum in London, those Christmas crackers were I think the initial popping version of them was patented in 1847. But then the article I read said they were perfected in the 1860s. And I don't know what that means. Maybe there were a bunch of fires and we're just not talking about them. But by 1860, don't even worry about it because they were perfected by the 60s.
Yeah. Okay. That's all we need to know.
Eventually, Tom's sons took over the business as he was, you know, getting older and would eventually pass away. And they upgraded crackers to include things like little toys, or I am talking about like tissue paper you use to wrap a gift, like truly very thin, delicate, usually crowns, little hats. Those items started entering into crackers as Tom's sons started to take over. And despite being known particularly as a Christmas tradition, there are all different kinds of crackers for all different kinds of occasions. So they make like crackers that are themed for spinsters, and there were crackers for the suffragettes and special crackers for a coronation. Like,
oh my gosh, no, iconic.
Yeah, all kinds of different stuff.
Again, another American thing. We love to capitalize off of everything.
Yeah.
Perfect. We love capitalism here. So
I'm envisioning a bachelorette cracker, and when you pop it open, it's got a little paper sash and a little penis straw, maybe.
I was hoping some you would go there.
Fun, maybe like a tattoo. Maybe
and then
like
a little condom. Rub-on
tattoo and maybe a condom just for
because
funsies.
Domingo is gonna He's be there.
Coming.
Just in case Domingo's around, and if you're watching this in the future and you don't know, watch SNL from fall of 2024.
Eventually you'll learn about Domingo.
Domingo.
Anyway, finally, and this is so important, one, the longest Christmas cracker ever was made in 2001. A bunch of parents from a school made it in Buckinghamshire, and it was 207 feet long and 13 feet in diameter. And furthermore, 1,478 people completed the biggest Christmas cracker pull in Japan in October of 2009. And thank you to beloved source whychristmas.com for this very important information. Speaking of sources, let's thank them all. We've got Victoria and Albert Museum. We've got Historic UK. We've got whychristmas.com and the National Archives.
Thank you to those sources. But also, I think with something that long, and if you're putting things in it, it's heavy. You can't crack that.
I am interested to know if the huge cracker was... I assume the huge cracker was filled. I definitely assume in the big chain of the biggest Christmas cracker pop ever that those were all filled. Maybe the biggest one was a big one full of littler ones.
Or, yeah, that's what I'm thinking is like either it was big tube, it was an extremely long tube, or it's a bunch of little tubes that are just like cinched. You know what I mean? Does that make sense? Like have their cinches among them and it makes it long.
Sure.
Anyway, I'm dumb. Who knows?
Can you imagine the horrifying loudness of one big 13-foot diameter Christmas cracker being popped?
I have a lot of anxiety about a lot of things, but I'm very sensitive to noises, especially like loud noises in large groups of people, and maybe that's just another American thing. But I'm like, I would have a panic attack if I heard that.
It's really something to think about, huh?
Yeah. Well, we're going to come back into our scene, which is, again, in this hardware store among all the inflatables.
Uh-huh.
And our main character, Sloane, and her coworker, her only other female coworker, find a Christmas cracker among their goodies, and they decide to pull on it. I'm thinking of over your facts, and I think I fell. Okay, sorry. Let me just get out what I'm trying to say here, which is that she and her coworker pull, and she falls back, and I guess there was glitter or confetti or something in it that it fell all over her, and she fell into an inflatable Santa.
Oh, okay.
And her coworker was like, "You won. You get a wish, make a wish." And she was like, "I want a soulmate." And then she looks up and the Santa inflatable, who's like holding her at this point, like kind of winks at her. And she's like, "Oh my gosh." And then she's like, "No, there's no way a Santa would wink at me like that. Inflatables don't wink. Maybe the light inside of it just blinked out for a second."
Mm-hmm.
Now here's where I'm hung up.
Okay? I can already see where this is going and I understand.
I think
your confusion is about a winner and a loser.
Yes.
I didn't see anything specific about this when I was researching. It's possible that I missed it. What it makes me think of, and maybe what it could be, if this doesn't exist in the world of Christmas crackers, what I think is being conflated is the concept of wishbones.
So that's and the concept exactly
of Christmas crackers. But it's possible that that's a thing of Christmas crackers. And I just don't know.
So that's exactly what they say at one point, is they're like trying to figure out how it works. And they're like, maybe it's like a wishbone and whoever gets the largest side like wins or whatever, you know?
So the characters in this book don't even know how.
No.
Okay.
So I don't know why, but maybe I'm, again, too American that I'm like, it's like a wishbone at Thanksgiving. You pull it and whichever side like gets the heartier half wins. Like,
okay,
I don't know.
That's so great because
but then the male coworkers walk in and they're like, "You didn't do it right." And
I got to say straight up, I didn't see anything about the ability to make a wish. So that makes all of it funnier because the characters don't know how to do it right either. And so they just kind of pulled this Christmas cracker. And then one chick was like, "You won, you get to make a wish," with no factual basis in that statement whatsoever. And the other girl's like, "Yay, I wish for a soulmate."
But here's the Delulu part for me is that I definitely thought it was the same thing where I was like, "Yeah, you get a wish if you
I don't think. Yeah, I don't think it's true
because, again,
if you know I'm for dumb. Sure, please email us.
If you are British,
immediately,
I need to know
because it just it's fun and funky. If you get make a wish, if a wish is a component of a Christmas cracker, and it just did not come up, but I want it to not be part of it because it's funnier to me.
That we just like added this in.
That the characters just invented this as
and guess what?
Part of how it works.
It's going to be a key component to the plot. So
I could guess.
So they're at least, so it's funny that the men come back in and tell them they didn't do it right. And that's not how it works. But then that's actually exactly how it worked. Apparently, allegedly, I don't know. Okay. So let's jump into the actual first chapter of the book. All right.
Yes.
Again, I don't know what timeline happened between Thanksgiving Eve and this point, but one night, we don't know when, Sloane is left alone in the store after her boss, Mr. Michaels, goes to visit his son in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
She works this shift every year. Like she knows how to close the store. She's a pro at it. You know, it's like riding a bicycle. You know what you're doing. You're doing it in autopilot.
Right. Going through the motions.
And when it comes time to lock the doors and close it up, she goes, locks up the register, starts sweeping the floors. And she's enjoying the holiday decor while she sleeps. Sweeps, not sleeps. again, you guys, my brain's just not all here yet today. So she's enjoying it all, including the inflatables. And she is walking past one of the reindeer when something touches her butt. And she turns around, but she realizes it's just a reindeer that fell over. So she straightens the reindeer, and then she continues on her way down the aisle. And as she's walking, she trips on an electrical cord and falls to the floor. And her glasses that were on her face skitter and get lost in the dark. Because the lights are now flickering. And now, like, she doesn't know where, like, she's like, well, this is weird.
It must be haunted.
Yeah.
Leftover ghost from Halloween.
A leftover ghost. Yeah. And now she's doing that, like, Velma move where she's, like, patting the ground around her, trying to find her glasses. And she hears this rumble that kind of turns into a hum. And she's like, that's not what these inflatables sound like. Like, even when they're powering down or powering up, that's not what they sound like. And then there's shadowed figures all around her. And she's like trying to figure out what's going on. And a gust of wind blows up her skirt because, yes, she's wearing a skirt to her job at the hardware store.
Look, when I go to work at Menards or what have you, I wear my cutest outfits, first of all. All my favorite skirts I save for that. So,
yeah. So this gust of wind blows up her skirt and something grabs her from behind and kind of pulls her backward. I'm going to read this next excerpt. Quote, I gasped as something inhuman touched my mound through my panties.
Ooh.
It didn't feel like skin or solid fingers. It felt like the silky feeling of a parachute touching my body. Yeah, you guys all know where this is going.
You know when a parachute touches your mound?
Well, through your panties. Again, so how do you know it's silky?
You've raised a fair question.
Thank you. Thank you. So, of course, she's immediately turned on because that's what always happens in these books, especially after these mysterious hands pull down her panties. And when she turns around, she is shocked to find the inflatable Santa. And when she tries to crawl, a different inflatable falls across her back.
Oh,
so pins her down. I'm not sure how an inflatable can pin you down like that, but okay. And all of a sudden, something is entering her. And Sloane comments that the member felt the perfect size.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah. And then she realizes that it's Santa's inflatable penis. And
every inflatable yard Santa comes with an inflatable ding-dong.
Oh, we'll address that in a little bit. Santa's hand even reaches around and fondles her boobs. Okay.
Wow.
Let's also not forget there's another inflatable weirdly holding her down, and it's an elf inflatable, which is like
Santa's little helper.
I literally wrote Santa's helper, of course. So please enjoy this next excerpt from the book. Quote, the thickening of its air-filled cock and relentless pounding shot desire throughout my body. I couldn't help it.
I was horny, and this was the nicest cock I had recently. As much as I didn't want to admit that I was being fucked by an inflatable, I couldn't stop myself from falling off that cliff. Every fiber of my being tightened as I broke across the thick air cock. Air cock.
The thick air cock. Yeah, no questions for me. It makes so much sense.
And of course, Santa does finish inside of her. Would you like to guess how he finishes inside of her?
How he finishes
inside of her? Yeah.
I guess because I assumed that, I don't know. I guess I don't know how I would have thought it would. Go ahead, tell me.
By a puff of air.
Okay. I guess he just assumed there would be some sort of magical
Christmas magic. Oh, don't worry. There also is. Okay. So then everything kind of happens very quickly where the rumbling that was going on before and the lights flickering all of a sudden stop. Everything goes back to normal. The inflatables go back to their normal position. And Sloan looks down and says, quote, mixed with my cum was a silvery cum with red sparkles inside. It felt like a whipped mousse between my fingers.
Fascinating.
This won't be the last time we talk about ejaculation this episode.
Well, thank God.
Thank God. So she locks the building. She didn't unplug any of the machines, which she was supposed to do. But she's like so freaked out that she like hightails it out of there. So I'm going to let you know now that this book is a dual POV book, which means that we get both main characters' points of view.
Good.
And each headline chapter, each chapter headlines with the name of the person's point of view we get. So obviously we know we have Sloane, but the other one has the chapters titled as No Name.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. So we're running into that problem again where we have something that is human-esque but doesn't have a human name, right?
I just am not sure, unless it's the elf that's not named, why you wouldn't just call it Santa.
We'll get into it. So No Name has been watching the human for weeks after she wished for him. There was magic in the air, and all he had to do was take control of inanimate beings around him. Now he was focused on becoming a humanoid with a bit of Christmas magic.
Wow. But
he's got to wait until that Christmas magic hits its peak. So
I get it.
Let's go back to Sloane. She comes back to work the next day, and Mr. Michaels calls her out for not properly closing the night before. And he was like,
Mr. Michaels is like, did you fuck an inflatable Christmas lawn ornament instead of closing yesterday?
Well, he's like, you even left water on the floor near the inflatables.
And you then left sparkly whipped water on the floor.
She claims she got creeped out, dropped a water, and left. And Mr. Michaels is like, quote, I know it can get creepy sometimes. It's like they have a mind of their own. And so then he tells her that some kid spilled a frappe on an inflatable dragon in the inflatables aisle.
Dang.
So he asks her to go clean it up.
Uh-huh.
Because
all of this is making complete sense to me, mm-hmm. Sarah.
And so she goes, and the dragon is like 9 feet tall. It has a candy cane in its mouth. It's like green with some red detailing. And she's like cleaning it up and cleaning up the dragon's tail when she notices that Santa's inflatable is looking very frustrated instead of jolly. And the elf next to Santa is now facing her instead of the other way around. And so she keeps cleaning the dragon, but the weird humming starts happening again. And slowly, every single inflatable, row by row, turns to face her.
Hmm.
And the lights start flickering, and the gust of air pushes her on the ground. And her glasses, once again, fly from her face. And today, she's not wearing a skirt. So she's like, it's going to be harder for them to fuck me. No.
crazy reaction.
No, because the dragon's eyes are glowing and he rips her pants down, and there's now a penis growing from its abdomen region. And she says, quote, I helped set these up. It did not have that when I first filled it up, and now it was going to fill me, end quote. So the dragon puts the candy cane in her mouth like a bit.
Sure.
Like a bit for a horse.
Yeah, that all makes sense to me.
Before he starts penetrating her.
And she says, quote, due to the air within the creature, it was like an undulating wave of motion massaging me from the inside, end quote.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
My disbelief is so suspended, it's not even in the same room as me anymore.
Oh, we've got so much more to go. Sloane is now an active participant as she is touching herself to help get herself off. And she's like, I've got to get myself off before my boss is weirded out by these flickering lights and comes looking for me. Like,
and also, I don't know, maybe weirded out by the fact that I'm getting off in a Farm and Fleet type store. Yeah. With a big inflatable Christmas dragon.
And I have to believe there's no security cameras, right?
I feel like the least concerning part is that the lights are flickering.
But she's also like, I can't stop thinking about how I want more. Like, I want an actual mouth and actual hands to touch me. I just want more. So when they both finish and the dragon pulls out and sprays her back with, quote, a fizz. And then she realizes it's the same weird stuff from last night. Sloane can't make heads or tails of any of this. She's like Googling, like, can I be fucked by like some inflatables?
Very normal.
And the only thing that she can make sense of that she comes across in her very thorough research online is that maybe a demon or spirit is possessing these inflatables.
It sounds to me like something you could watch on My Strange Addiction.
No, for sure. For sure. But when she's asked to close the store again, she gets really nervous. And of course, when it's time, she goes to close down the inflatable section and the humming starts along with all of the inflatables turning to watch her. No. And first, a snowman grabs her, but she was able to fight him off and get out. And so she has to go through and like unplug them one by one. Like there's not like one big power strip.
Sure.
Like you have to go through and unplug them all. And
each
so she's
individual
like.
Individual one in its own outlet.
Yeah. So then it becomes a race. Like, can I unplug all of these before they try and grab me? So she gets a couple, but then she has something grab her ankle and she falls to the ground. And you guessed it. Her glasses fly off again.
Son of a bitch.
Because this is a plot point we can't let go. Okay.
A regular Velma.
Yeah. Electrical cords are now wrapped around her ankles and like dragging her to the inflatable Santa at the other end of the aisle. Like just wow. Slowly but surely. And this time, as he's entering her, he speaks and says, it's so pretty, meaning her coochie. Mm-hmm. Her coochie. So I will also let you know, because we have discussed this in the past, that we don't like certain words being used during sexual acts.
True.
And when he's entering her, she says in an internal dialogue, quote, an embarrassing squelching noise filled the room. This is my formal petition that we should never use the word squelching in romantic sexual settings.
It's not for me. That's all.
Well, it's not long that while Santa's behind her, that the elf decides he's also going to join. So she gives a blowjob to the elf because he deserves his Christmas bonus this year too.
Because a small, reasonably sized inflatable penis to suck on.
They never explain how big some of these other than the dragon one. We didn't get an explanation on how big like Santa or the elf are. But if the elf is big enough to pin her down, you know what I mean? It's got to be semi-big. So anyway, the two inflatables get off as well as Sloane. And then everything goes back to normal, right? Everything's just normal.
I would hope so.
So we swap POVs to No Name for just two sentences. And it says, quote, the magic was high. It was time. It's now Christmas Eve. Sloane is back at work and decided that today she's wearing a sexy Mrs. Claus outfit featuring a skirt, a full-length cape, and contacts because she's prepared this time. She's fully prepared. All right, what are your feelings?
You work at a hardware store or adjacent.
Mm-hmm.
And you showed up to work in a full sexy Mrs. Claus outfit with a cape
mm-hmm.
to sell people hammers and saws and light bulbs and plywood.
Okay. And inflatables.
I hope not, because then who's she gonna fuck?
Well, and it's funny because she's like, I for sure could have gotten in trouble. She was like, it was sexy, but not too sexy. But you're also wearing a Mrs. Claus mini skirt with a full length cape. I don't know. Insanity. This whole thing is so wild. And she was
insanity, Sarah.
She was like, the only reason people would be coming in on Christmas Eve is for Christmas tree emergencies. And I'm like, okay.
You know how when you have a Christmas tree emergency, you go to your local hardware store for them to fix it. That's normal.
And then her boss is like, hey, fun outfit. Way to get in the holiday spirit.
Okay. This is fine and normal.
And then she spends the day like traipsing around in her cape. And then anytime she like walks down the inflatable aisle, she'll like do a little twirl and then like kind of shake her booty. And then the weird humming noise will start and she'll be like, do you like this? And then do like a little spin and then like walk out, like trying to be a tease. Okay.
Fascinating.
So of course she's got to close the store again. And she's expecting more to happen, but as like she's unplugging things, as she's like sweeping everything, like nothing's happening. So she unplugs most of the inflatables and then comes face to face with Santa. And she's staring at him and she's wondering why have you been the most active of them all? What's special about you? Then the lights begin to flicker and then all of the inflatables glow with a eerie red light and then they explode. Quote, little pieces of plastic confetti filled the air so thick I couldn't see. I stumbled back and someone wrapped their arms around my waist. I screamed as I looked down. They were definitely human hands. End quote.
That's going to suck to have to resweep while you're closing all of that confetti. Bummer.
I'm going to let you know right now, she does not go back. Like, she's not finishing her job tonight. This is not going to get picked up.
Okay, cool. Anyway.
Because the human tells her, calm down, human. And he throws her over his shoulder and she realizes he's naked. She's threatening to call. I'm going to let you know right now, from here to the rest of the
book, I'm buckled in.
It is so much nonsense and like moves so fast. Again, this is a 30-page book. So
I'm ready.
So she like threatens to call the cops and he's like, you don't even have your apron on anymore and you typically keep it in your apron and blah, 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 blah. And I'm pretty sure your phone's in the other room. She's like, have you been watching me? And then he's like, And then he like takes her to the back room and she gets a good look at him. And he's like the real life Santa Claus with like a full white beard, blue eyes. But he's like got a muscular build with kind of a layer of fat over him, kind of like a thick boned man. You know what I mean? Like he's still like
he was previously inflatable, but now he's a man.
Mm-hmm. And she says, quote, I tried to avoid looking at his cock. I didn't make it far. It looked almost like a normal uncircumcised cock, but thicker, more .. puffy. So he's looking at her strangely and is like, where is your face things? I like them. Talking about her glasses.
Oh.
And then he's pretty much like, you're like the whole flow of conversation after this doesn't make any sense. I feel like there was just like a, let's make as many wild ass comments and make them seem like they're not even conversing with each other at this point. So he's like, you're mine. We've got to go home. I'm going to make you come. And she was like, what about consent?
I mean, realizing. Look, you know how we feel about it. Got to get that consent.
Yes. But she's like just now realizing that there has not been consent at any point. And then she was like, maybe he doesn't even know what consent is. And the man just shrugs.
Oh, okay, cool.
He's like, okay. So after some back and forth, she finally realizes it's him who was in the inflatables the whole time. She wraps her full length cape around him because he's naked and like takes him home. And as they're heading home, she's like trying to ask him questions and like not really getting much of answers out of him. So she's like, are you going to turn into an inflatable again? And he's like, no. And she's like, are you human? How are you human? And he's like, Christmas magic. But what I don't get is he doesn't know who Santa Claus is, but he knew what Christmas magic was.
That's really interesting.
Yeah. So then when she asks him about the fucking inflatables, he was like, quote, I wanted you before the Christmas magic came to a peak to allow me to become human. You're absolutely ravishing. I'm lucky to have a mate like you. Because, of course, she asked for a soulmate on Thanksgiving. And
when they opened Christmas crackers on Thanksgiving and made a wish.
So tell me that that's not how it works, because apparently it is. He goes on to say, quote, I thought if I showed you I could give you pleasure, you would want me. And then she explains the importance of foreplay and how you want to care more about your partner's pleasure. And he was like, okay, teach me. By the way, this is the perfect time for them to have a conversation about his name.
Better late than never.
And she's like, I'm going to call you Nick.
All right.
Also, he was in all the inflatables at one time. So everything that was happening was all him.
He is
dragon
and
elf. Grabby snowman.
It's really crazy when you think about him being Santa and the elf, because he's both having intercourse and getting his dick sucked somehow.
Yeah,
that's crazy. Yeah.
So Nick is a quick learner because he is kissing up her thighs. He's going down on her. He's finding the clitoris. He gets the G-spot. Sloane even explains squirting to him, and he's like, I want to make you do that. Oop, made you do it. Like, it was just like, he's just
checking
knows off everything,
all the to-dos.
Yes. And he's like, I want to make you do that squirty thing again. And she was like, I don't know if I can. I've never been able to do it twice in one night. He was like, let's give it a try. And so she's like, wait, hold on, let me just look at your penis real quick, because like, it's just so weird to me. And she says, quote, it felt silky like the inflatables, that slick swish. There was a different type of firmness than a normal cock. Like, there was a layer of air between the skin and ... whatever created this weird man, end quote.
Fascinating.
So then she's like, I should probably teach you about actual consent. But then the idea goes by the wayside as they return to the foreplay lessons. And finally, he gets ready to enter and asks her, are you ready? And she was like, quote, yes, but I want you to note that this is what you should have been always doing. Should have always done. You know, asking before fucking. And he nods and is like, noted.
What an interesting dynamic.
Hope, do you know what nodding is?
I have like a general concept of what nodding is.
What do you think you, like, how do you think it is?
No.
So nodding is when the penis like bulges or like knots at the base of the penis when it's inside
the, so it stays in, right?
So it stays in, yeah. And you can't come out, and so the seed can take root. And it's very common in like paranormal shifter romances, specifically like werewolf romance stuff.
Oh, because doesn't it happen in animals?
Sometimes, yes. So it happens between mates. Like, we've seen this theme. This is like a thing in paranormal romances. So color me surprised when the inflatable romance has a nodding scene in it. And she's like, what the fuck is your penis doing? And he's like, I don't know, but I don't think I'm going to get out of you for a while. So they finish, and she decides that she's like, I like him. I'll keep him. I'll teach him how to be a human. Would you like to hear about our epilogue?
Yes, please.
What would you like to be in the epilogue? What do you think is going to be in the epilogue? It's very short.
Well, you said that they're not going to clean up the mess at work.
No, they're not returning to work.
I don't know. Which is crazy, because we also haven't really said that like they transported to a new dimension.
No,
it just kind of seems like they're just gonna leave the store how it is and then go fuck some more. If nodding is happening, then, well, there wasn't a trigger warning for pregnancy. I usually go to pregnancy. I assume she quits her job and just lives with Nick.
Okay. Well, the epilogue says, quote, in the early hours of Christmas morning, an envelope appeared on Sloane's kitchen table containing an ID, papers for Nick, with a note to, for Sloane, I hope you enjoy your Christmas present, end quote.
Thank you, Santa?
One of my favorite elements that we have discovered in these books is that if something becomes sentient that did not have an identification before,
it somehow gets papers later.
Magically gets a social security number, magically gets a license, sometimes gets money.
I always think of, I think it's in the last of the Twilight books where they have to like get documents and like fake IDs for Bella and Edward and Renesmee and Jacob. And I can't remember why. It's like in case they have to flee the country. And so I just assume that there's some hookup.
Yeah, there's always a hookup. There's always, I mean, and Santa. It's Santa. He can do whatever the hell he wants.
Could be Santa.
Oh, so that was our book. How do you feel?
I feel really good. Do you want to describe the pictures I drew?
Yeah. Will I be able to post them online?
Yeah.
That was enthusiastic.
Okay. So
first of all, it is a big ass picture on a massive pink.
It's paper. It's on orange construction paper.
Or sorry, orange.
This goes off screen, so it's fine. This
oh is fine. My God.
I drew this wiggly armed inflatable man just for additional context because I didn't feel like the inflation of the Santa that I drew was really going to come through otherwise. And then just for fun, I drew this unhinged, sexy Mrs. Claus outfit, a very long cape. And then I wondered if for work, if she would have to wear some kind of a vest like this over it. But then you said apron. So then I also drew an apron so that we could keep that in context.
Yes.
She's wearing like a Home Depot apron.
No, I love this.
Over a sexy Mrs. Claus
outfit. That is so good. Put that on our Instagram.
I sure hope that's what's on the cover of the book. I can't wait to get there.
Well, let's discuss diversity where it's very clear that she is a white woman and you will understand when you see the cover of the book. Other than I wish I could be like, huh, it was a little polyamorous, you know, with a three-way there or something. But
because it was inflatable.
Him. Yeah, it was him the whole time.
The whole time.
So let's talk about plot.
Yes.
You know, I'm not going to be, for a moment there, I was going to be like, what the fuck is the plot? But the fact of the matter is she didn't know what was going on. She was like, how am I going to close the store without getting fucked by the inflatables?
And then she was like, what can I wear to make the inflatables want to fuck me?
And all time around. I mean, then we made a whole like Santa, I guess, granted her wish, you know, the wishbone cracker. Like, I'm going to give it a 3. I'm going to be nice and give it a 3.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a 4.
Okay.
I have some questions about what maybe happens forward, but all in all, I had a great time.
So I am going to give the smut a 4 for us to have 30 pages and have like what, 3 or 4 sex scenes?
She got off a lot for 30 pages. It was crazy.
The only point I'm docking is that like the consent was clearly mentioned, but never like really addressed very well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's where I'm docking. Well, what are you thinking?
Yes. I am going to give it a 4 and ask for better, more consent thoroughly throughout.
Yeah.
And or consensual non-consent or whatever.
Yes. You have the link to our very extremely chaotic cover.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Would you like to mention what is in our cover, please?
It's magic. In the top left corner, we have the branch of a Christmas tree. There's some ornaments on it and hanging from it. On the right, like upper right and right side of the book is a woman with black glasses photoshopped on her. And I think it looks like she's wearing a Santa hat, but you can only see like the fuzzy white part of the Santa hat. And is she wearing clothes? Really hard to tell. can't really tell. It says smashed by the Christmas inflatables, and smashed by the and inflatables are in sort of a bubbly font, and then Christmas is in like a fun whimsical gold font. just as you'd think Christmas would be. And underneath all of that is, of course, I'm actually thrilled. Exactly what I would have envisioned, an inflatable yard Santa. Just from the chest up, waving. And it's by S.R. Griffith, and there's some snowflakes happening, and it's pretty fun.
This is pretty much what I want from this.
This is great.
I'm giving it a 4.
Yeah, I'm going to give it... I'm going to give it... I like it so much. I'm going to give it a 4.5. I'm really happy because that is the exact inflatable Santa I would have pictured.
That's so great. So that leaves you at an 83 and I'm at a 73%. Woohoo! You know, those scores by Goodreads and... You know, I saw some of the Amazon reviews and I said to myself, you guys know nothing. Guys know nothing of the
value. Not everyone is equipped with a robust whimsy and spirit of Christmas. So that's okay.
No. So what was your Sisma moment?
Wearing a sexy Mrs. Claus outfit to your job at a hardware store.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know how I skipped this over. Hold on. I missed a very important key point. For some reason, I must not have made it in my notes, or maybe we got distracted at some point. But when both Elf Boy was going on Clown Town, you know, with Santa, he ejaculated in her mouth and it tasted like peppermint.
Oh my God, I can't believe you didn't bring that up.
I know. We must have gotten sidetracked or something.
Joking about the jizz tasting like peppermint, which I don't know if I actually said it out loud or if I just kept that in my head. I think I kept it in my head.
I think it's the trifecta for me. For me, it's the trifecta of the gust of air when Santa ejaculates, the mousse-like sparkly, red sparkly cum, and the fact that it tastes like peppermint for me. Like... that's a great trifecta of ejaculation.
Who could have known that the jizz of an inflatable Santa Claus would be such a multi-sensory experience?
Yeah. My other thing is like that we turn this book into a slight horror movie when like all the inflatables are turning to look at her, or like she's like trying to escape the inflatables and unplug them in time.
Yeah, it gets like a little spooky. Yeah. We're not long off the heels of Halloween. So.
Yeah. And when I think of the inflatables that I would see, you know, I know there are some wild ones out there, but having a dragon that has a candy cane in its mouth was a little out there for me.
Christmas dragon?
Anybody?
Christmas dragon.
So this one, I just felt like had a lot of say smut moments.
It was chock full. It was 30 pages full of say smut.
Yeah. And obviously the fact that we just like, again, I constantly was thinking through the whole book, it's too flaccid. Everything is too flaccid to invoke enough pleasure through these.
You know what's not too flaccid?
Oh no.
The candy cane in the mouth of this inflatable dragon that I just Googled that exists.
Please send me a photo. We will put it on our Instagram. Okay. Any other say smut moments, do you think?
No, that really covers it for me.
I agree. Well, you can find us, if you so choose, on TikTok, Instagram, or Blue Sky. I'm trying to be better about it. At Say Smut Podcast. Additionally, we'd love to hear your book recommendations. Send those our way via email at saysmutpodcast@gmail.com. And, you know, if you felt good about, you know, getting smashed by the Christmas inflatables this time around and you enjoyed it.
Who doesn't?
And you enjoyed our time together. You enjoyed the closing shift with us. You should rate and review us on the podcast platform of your choosing.
Please.
But in the meantime, dress appropriately for work. Put in your contacts if you know you're doing contact sports.
Can't emphasize that enough. Or bring a spare.
Yeah. Definitely be checking if whatever you're putting in your body, as we always say, and consent, my friends.
Please ask before you touch the employee at the hardware store with your big inflatable Santa hands.
Yeah. Well, stay smutty, y'all.
Ho, ho, ho.
Bye.